Good morning. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for what you've done. You've created all things. You've come. You've lived a perfect life, Jesus. You've died. You've risen from the dead. You're here with us now by your Spirit. And you tell us that you're coming back again. As we look into your word today, help us to read it, help us to understand it, help us to submit to it. Amen. So we get to be here together. Children's church, it's been a while. If you're that age, you can go. Yeah, it's time, I know. You want to listen to me. It's really nice to hear those camp reports. I know the Lord worked in my heart immensely at camp, and it's great to hear others going there. I got to share at camp 1 week this year. In fact, this talk today is kind of inspired by one of my talks I did at camp. There's times in life, and there's times in the Christian life to look back and to think, what has God done? To see how he created all things, to see Jesus and what he's done for us, that he died, that he rose from the dead. Then there's also times to look at right now, what's going on in the present. And we're putting sin to death and we're relying on the Holy Spirit and he's leading us and guiding us. But then there's also times to look ahead. What's in the future? What is happening after today? Way in the future, in 100 years, in 1 million years, what's going on? And that's what I'm going to try to do today, to help us to look ahead. What does the Bible say about what is going to happen in the future? One of the things I like to do at camp is have the kids talk to each other a little bit, have a little interaction. So I'd like you to try that out, if you would humor me. Talk to the person beside you. Tell them, what are you looking forward to today? After church, what's one thing maybe for lunch or tonight? Talk to your neighbor. What are you looking forward to today? Okay, I heard a few things. Now let's make the timetable a little longer. Let's say now till Christmas. The next number of months, what are you looking forward to now till Christmas? Talk to each other a little. All right, the last thing to discuss, now I want you to look way, way ahead to the end of the age. This world's burnt, it's gone. What are you looking forward to at the end of the age? Talk to each other. That might be a little harder to put some handles on, right? It's a little more, we don't know what's going to be going on. I want to look at three things today. One, that this age will end. Two, after that it's heaven or hell for everybody. And finally, what do we do about it? And it's only through faith that we can be with the Lord forever. So first of all, that this age will end. We're going to look through a lot of scriptures today. I'm not just looking at one passage and diving into it, but a whole bunch. So follow along with me if you have your Bible, look along. If you got a phone, look along. Let's start in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3. Verses In 2 Peter 3, people are kind of scoffing and laughing. Ah, this world's always been the same. Things are going to just keep going as they're keeping on going. He says in 2 Peter 3:10, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. And there's many other passages that would attest to this. This earth will not last forever. It will be destroyed by fire. Jesus says in a number of places, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words won't. Heaven and earth will pass away. This isn't going to last here. This building won't be here forever. This earth won't be like it is forever. Let's go back to Isaiah 51. It's a big book after Psalms. Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51, 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Isaiah 51, 6. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its habitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. Same idea. The heavens will vanish. The earth will wear out. Let's go to Matthew 13, the scripture reading today. Jesus is telling parables. He's explaining to them, and I think we can learn from it as well, what his kingdom is about. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." What do you think Jesus is trying to say by that parable? What lesson is he trying to teach? What do you think is the meaning of that parable? Tell your neighbor for 30 seconds. What's Jesus meaning by this parable? Well, maybe you were kind of guessing what it meant. We're very fortunate. This parable, Jesus actually explains it to us. So we'll see if you guessed right. Look at verse 36 of Matthew 13. Now he gets his disciples and he says, okay, this is what this parable is all about. Matthew 13, 36. Or verse 37. The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed stands for the son of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. So Jesus is saying that at the end of the age, and that time will come, Jesus will send out his angels, and everything that causes sin and all who do evil, they will be thrown into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That will happen. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. What a beautiful picture. So some will go to the fiery furnace where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Some will go to the kingdom of the Father where they will shine like the sun in the kingdom. Go down to verse 47, a very similar parable, Matthew 13:47. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad ones away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we see in both parables there's the wheat and the weeds, there's the good fish and the bad fish. And at the end of the age, there will be a separation. Let's go to Matthew 25, something similar. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Again, this is Jesus talking, and he's looking toward the end of the age. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." They will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in a prison and didn't help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Again, here we see eternal punishment, eternal life. There's the wheat and the weeds. There's the good fish, the bad fish. There's the sheep and the goats. This is the destiny for all of us. Will it be eternal punishment? Will it be eternal life? Go a page or two back, Matthew 25, 31. Oh, no, that's where we are. Sorry. John 28. John 5:28. John chapter 5, verse 28. Again, there's the words of Jesus. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and will come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. So when we die, that is not the end. We will rise. Hebrews 9:27 says, just as it is appointed for man once to die, and after that to face judgment. We all have an appointed time where we will die and we will face judgment. Hebrews also talks about how we're aliens and strangers in this earth. This is not where we're going to end up. We're here for a small time, like a stranger. We're visiting, like an alien. We're meant to be with the Lord forever and ever. And we're not here for long. In the big scheme of things, we might live on this earth. Psalms talk about 70, 80 years, maybe a little longer, some less. The Bible describes us many different ways as very temporary, like a flower that blooms and it's gone, like grass that's here today and gone tomorrow. James says, you're like a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. I don't know if any of you guys were at the lake this summer and you saw a mist in the morning. The sun comes out, it vanishes. And in that way, we're on this earth for a short time. Our lives are short. If you think of everlasting, ever and ever and ever and ever, our time on this earth is so short. And yet our short time here determines how our forever and ever and ever and ever will be. Now it's natural for us to cling to this world. We see this world, we know it. But we must instead look to God and see what's not just temporary, but what is eternal. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel 12. If you get to Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, you're almost there. If you guys want to learn more about Daniel, go to George's Bible study on Wednesday. Maybe he'll correct me. Quite a bit of Daniel looks ahead. So Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Daniel's looking ahead. He's got this vision. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of the nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. So it talks about a time when those who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. There's two places to go. Some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Let's go to Luke 16. I'm hoping you're noticing a theme. Luke chapter 16. This story really came alive to me when I was in senior youth. We had a Bible study one night and we went over this story. And I remember thinking, if this is real, my life needs to change. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. This is the words of Jesus. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, some translations say Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember, in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. And now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will also not come to this place of torment." The story's a bit longer, but we see this pattern again. There's two destinations. There's a place of comfort. There's a place of torment. And you're not going from one place to the other. This age will end, but that is not the end. Go to John 14. Jesus talked much about the future. John 14, Jesus also looks ahead. John 14, 1, he's talking to his followers here, his disciples. John 14, 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am." Jesus says he is going to prepare a place for his believers, for his followers. And he's going to be coming back to take us to be with him. Now let's go right to the end. Revelation. Go to the end of Revelation. We're going to look at the last three chapters a bit. Boy, without the scriptures, how would we know what's going to happen in the future? We wouldn't. What a blessing that he tells us what's going to happen. We can be prepared. So Revelation 20, it starts out, there's this 1,000 years where Satan is bound up and thrown into the abyss, and for 1,000 years Christ reigns and rules. Then we see in chapter 20, verse 7, Satan is released from his prison. He goes out around the earth and he gathers up this huge army, and they come and attack and surround the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But as they're surrounding him, fire comes down from heaven, destroys that whole army. If you'll see in verse 9 and 10. And then in verse 10, the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So Satan's thrown into the lake of burning sulfur. Then if we look at Revelation 20, verse 11, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, according to the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. and each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. But that's not the end. Go to the next verse, Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Like we talked about earlier, this earth, this heaven will not last. It will pass away. Revelation 21, 2. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. What a picture. Can you imagine? We'll keep going. Revelation 21:5. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. When he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. And it goes on in chapter 21 and more details about this new Jerusalem coming down. Let's pick it up in verse 22 of chapter 21. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Can you imagine? The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he keeps going. It'd be great to read this as you get home. Let's skip to the last two verses of the Bible. Verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. So we get a glimpse of what's coming. There's heaven, there's hell. There's being in the Lord's presence with him, serving him, seeing him, reigning with him forever and ever. And then there's the lake of burning sulfur, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus says, after in John 14, he says that he's going to prepare a place for his believers, for his followers, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. His call is for everyone. He wants everyone to repent and be saved. He wants everyone to be with him in heaven forever and ever. But not everyone will. Only those whose names are written in the book of life. Let's go to John 3. John chapter 3. Early in Jesus' ministry, he's talking with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And he's going back to the Old Testament. He says, there's this, remember that time with Moses? People were getting bit by snakes and they were dying. And Moses put up a snake and they were to look on that snake to be saved. And in John 3, verse 14, Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. What's our hope for eternal life? It's that we look to the Savior, Jesus. John 3:16, famous verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We'll either perish or we'll have everlasting life. What's the difference? This verse tells us we believe in him. We put our faith in Jesus, in him alone. We sang the song, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. Our only hope is the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. That is our hope. We receive his righteousness. He takes our sin when we put our faith in him. If we keep reading John 3:17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. If we don't put our faith in Jesus, we stand condemned already. And when judgment comes, when the end of the age comes, if we're not in Christ, we're going to be found guilty of our sin because all have sinned. God's mercy is real today. Today, he's calling each one of us to call on the name of the Lord. He wants everyone to lift up their eyes and to be saved. Second last scripture, Ephesians 2. Let's turn there. Ephesians chapter 2 starts out talking about how we're all dead in our sins. We're all deserving God's wrath, the beginning of Ephesians chapter 2. But, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we are dead in transgressions. Chapter 2, verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Chapter 2, verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves is the gift of God. Our only hope is the grace of Jesus, putting our faith in Jesus. If we want to be in heaven forever, if we want to rule forever and ever with Christ, we have to put our faith in Jesus. I'm going to end with this parable in Matthew 13. Go back to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, we talked about the weeds and the wheat. Have you considered that? Are you part of the weed? Are you part of the weeds? Are you part of the wheat? Are you part of the good fish or the bad fish? Are you part of the sheep? Are you part of the goats? In between this parable of the wheat and the weeds, and in between the parable of the net underneath it, we have two small little parables. Matthew 13:44. I'm just going to read the first one. Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. It's only one verse. Let me talk us through this parable. Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. So if you imagine there's this man walking down someone else's field. Maybe he's taking a shortcut for a path. He's walking down this field. And as he's walking down the field, he sees something on the side. Maybe he kicks it. Oh, what is this? He looks at it. Maybe he kicks it a little bit, puts some of the dirt away. He's like, oh, this looks like a chest. Opens it up. He looks inside, and there's a treasure in there. Maybe gold, silver, diamonds, jewelry, millions of dollars. Wow, what does he do? Closes it up. He says he hides it again. So he pushes dirt over it again, kicks it, makes sure there's no dirt, nothing showing. What does he do next? He goes home. He goes and sells everything he has. If he had a donkey, he sold it. His house, he sold it. If he had extra clothes, he sold it. Everything. Every single thing that he had, he went and sold it. In joy. It says that he had joy in doing that. Everything. Until he had nothing left. Everything. He finally gets enough money after selling all that he has. He takes that money. He brings it to the owner of that field. And he buys that field. What does that tell us about the kingdom of God? I think he's telling us that his kingdom is worth giving up everything in our lives. This treasure, I mean, it's amazing to have gold and silver and millions of dollars, but you know what's even more amazing? To be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. To be reigning with him. To be serving him, to be enjoying him. And it is worth it to give up everything. In this parable, he sells everything. But in our lives, what does that look like for you? It's going to be different for everyone. But I know it's worth it to give up your time for him, give up your money for him, give up your energy for him, whichever sins that have got you stuck. Give them up. Turn away from them. When Jesus talks in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, if your hand or your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cut it off. It'd be better for you to, well, I better read it exactly so I don't mess it up. Matthew 5:29, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for in your whole body to be thrown into hell. Jesus is saying both the encouragement and lure of this treasure of being with him forever is worth it to give up everything that you're clinging to on this earth. Every sin, it's worth it because he is the treasure. And at the same time, it's worth it because you don't want to end up in hell. And if this sin is going to leave you to hell, it is not worth it because hell is forever and ever and ever. So my encouragement for you guys, realize this treasure that God is. We get to be with him forever. We get to serve him, be with our Savior who died for us, or we're in hell forever and ever. We're only on this earth for a short time. Put your faith in Jesus. He made a way. He made a way for us to be with him forever. And that's his blood on the cross. That's his perfect life. So turn away from your sins today. Repent. And put your faith in him. I hope that each one here is in heaven forever and ever. But just coming to church every Sunday doesn't guarantee that. That doesn't put your name into the Lamb's Book of Life. You got to put your faith in him. You got to repent and turn away from the sin in your life. And it might be hard and it might be difficult, but it's worth it. Be willing to give up everything to be with the Lord forever. I'm hoping the Holy Spirit's working in your heart. If you want to talk to me about this after, pray, please do. One of the elders here, a parent, there's a lot of believers here. Talk to them after when you get home. Are you ready to be with the Lord forever? Or are you still clinging on and holding on to this earth as if it's going to last forever and ever? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your mercy. You're extending mercy again today and asking people to come to you. Lord, I pray that each one here turns away from their sin and comes to you, that they realize the truth, that you're preparing a place for all your people. I pray that we will be your people. You've also prepared a place for the devil and his angels that everyone's going to go to whose name is not written in the book of life. May we not be those people. Help us to be ready when you return. Help us to share this good news, this hope with others. Amen.